In this world is darkness, so let us shine. You in your small corner and I in mine. Jesus bids us shine, first of all for him. Well, he sees and knows it if our light grows dim. Jesus walks beside us to help us shine. You in your small corner and I in mine. Jesus bids us shine, then for all around, many kinds of darkness in this world are found. Sin and want and sorrow, so we must shine. You in your small corner and I in mine.
Good morning. Nice to see all the brave souls out on this freezing rain Sunday. We'll continue with our announcements.
A reminder that the World Day of Prayer is coming up this Thursday. Yes, this Thursday, February 28th, from 1 to 3 at Woodvale Pentecostal Church. I know some of our members are participating in it. Hopefully some of you will be able to get out to it as well. It's always a great time. We have the ham dinner and Irish night coming up on March the 8th, and tickets are now available for it, so you can see. It's usually Marilyn out there. And just another reminder, we're still looking for volunteers to give people rides to the church. If you're able to do that, if you could get in touch with Melissa at the office, that would be great. And finally, tax receipts are available in the hallway there.
Thanks, Wendy. Yeah, those are rides to and from church, but not just for Sunday morning. Also, if there's a special event like the ham dinner, I know a lot of people who drive during the day don't drive at night, even in good weather. So we're hoping to get something set up so we can make sure that everyone who wants to participate is able to participate. And with that, let's take some time to collect our thoughts as we listen to the prelude.
Welcome, Jesus, you.
I would mention that our bulletin today is a memorial dedication. It's in memory of Muriel Ethel McLaughlin. Her birthday was February 16th, and she passed away January 1st, 2015. Dearly loved mother of Brenda Hamilton, cherished wife and sister, she was predeceased by her children, Delmer and Colleen. And so I know that as she got older, her memory faded, but we remember her today as we remember you. Our call to worship this morning is based on our gospel reading, Luke 6. Come and learn the ways of life. We have come to follow Jesus. Love your enemies and do good to those who hate you. We have come to follow Jesus. Bless those who curse you and pray for those who persecute you. We have come to follow Jesus. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. We have come to follow Jesus. Come and learn the ways of life. Let us continue with another lovely children's hymn, Jesus Teacher, Brave and Bold.
Jesus Teacher, brave and bold, let us serve you, young and old. Let us faith-filled workers be, all around your wisdom see. Let us play and dance and sing, your goodness find in everything. Jesus, friend so strong and true, show us good, brave work to do. Show us those who need a friend, all things broken, help us mend. Free our minds and stretch our care, teach us to serve you everywhere.
We'll continue with our opening prayer. Inexhaustible source of love and life, be with us in our time of worship as we seek the love it takes to walk in the ways of your Son. Help us love our enemies and bless those who wrong us, for we cannot do so alone. Teach us the joy of treating others with all the same respect and goodness with which we hope to be treated. May our every word and deed make known that we are your beloved children and vessels of your love. Amen. I'd like to invite the choir to come forward.
forward.
Good morning. Good morning. Hi. Come on up and take a seat. Mom can come with you and sit up there, too. Happens all the time. Good morning. There's a lovely song. We're singing some old children's songs today and some new kind of old children. The old children are all out here on this side. So how many, you know the song, Jesus, just a minute. Jesus bids us shine. Now, Jesus bids us shine with a pure, clear light. No. We already sang that. I want to do This Little Light of Mine. They're so similar. This Little Light of Mine. And they're actions. So even if you don't know the words, you can do the actions. I'm going to be playing the guitar, so it's kind of hard to do the actions. But the first action is This Little Light of Mine, I'm going to let it shine. Can everybody do that? This Little Light of Mine, I'm going to let it shine. Good. And the next one is Don't Hide It Under a Bushel, No. See that? So this is our bushel. Don't hide it under a bushel. No, I'm going to let it shine. And then the last one is, don't let anyone it out. But we're going to blow it out. So don't let anyone it out. I'm going to let it shine. There we go. Now that I'm on the right song. That's what happens when young children become older children. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Don't hide it under a bushel, no, I'm going to let it shine. Don't hide it under a bushel, no, I'm going to let it shine. Don't hide it under a bushel, no, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Don't let anyone it out, I'm going to let it shine. Don't let anyone it out, I'm gonna let it shine. Don't let anyone hit out. I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Excellent job. Excellent job. I love that song. You know, this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. So what does that mean? Well, it's like all the things that God gave to us that make us special. Things, all of our talents, all of our abilities, our gifts, our enthusiasm for life, let it shine. And don't hide it under a bushel. Like sometimes we're shy or we think, well, if we share our light, maybe people will think that we're showing off. No, share your light. God wants it to be shared. God gives each of us a gift to share for the good of the community. And whatever you do, don't let anyone it out. Don't let anybody tell you that you can't share your gift. You've got to let your light shine because that's what God wants us to do. And I hope that song stays in your heart all day long. Let's all pray. I'll invite everyone to pray after me saying, thank you, God, for giving us light. Help us, God, to let our light shine. Amen. Amen. And now you can go to Sunday school. Have a great time, and we'll see you later. And we're going to continue with our minute permission.
Today's minute permission is entitled Facing the Occupation. June 5, 2017 marked the 50th year of Israel's military occupation of Gaza, the West Bank, and East Jerusalem. More than two generations of Palestinians have known no other reality than Israeli military occupation. Staff in the United Church's Church and Mission Unit recently visited Palestine, Israel, where they were hosted by WEAM, the Palestinian Conflict Transformation Center. Opening in 1994, WEAM works to resolve disputes in the Palestinian community, support reconciliation, and address the psychological and physiological consequences of long-term conflict and occupation. Located just inside the separation walls surrounding Bethlehem, WEAM literally faces the occupation. One quarter of its property is lost to the 8 meters high Israeli separation wall, and an Israeli security tower overlooks its outdoor space. In spite of the 24-hour, 7 days a week surveillance, WEAM is committed to providing programs empowering Palestinian youth, children, men, and women. One of its programs is a community garden. Even such simple projects face big challenges. At the height of summer, running water is denied to Bethlehem residents to maintain uninterrupted service to Israeli settlements, and the nearby Israeli military base directs its sewage run into the garden. In spite of these obstacles, WEAM is proud to offer United Church staff a tour of its small garden and share a harvest of fresh pea pods, snapped off and enjoyed in the last rays of sunshine on a warm summer evening. Mission and Service works with our partners, striving for justice and peace in Palestine, Israel. Please join me in making Mission and Service giving a regular part of your life of faith. Loving our neighbor is at the heart of our Mission and Service.
Thank you, Wendy, for filling in for Maggie. And now filling in for Miles, we have Dory.
I'm choosing this Bible because it has big printing. As children grow older, you know. And I'm reading today from Luke chapter 6, verses 27 to 38. And this particular section is called Love Your Enemies. That could be hard. I guess we better listen carefully. But I tell you who hear me, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. And pray for those who mistreat you. If anyone hits you on one cheek, let him hit the other one too. If someone takes your coat, let him have your shirt as well. Give to everyone who asks you for something, and when someone takes what is yours, do not ask for it back. Do for others just what you would want them to do for you. If you love only the people who love you, why should you receive a blessing? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to only those who do good to you, why should you receive a blessing? Even sinners do that. And if you lend only to those whom you hope to get it back, why should you receive a blessing? Even sinners lend to sinners to get back the same amount. No, love your enemies and do good to them. Lend and expect nothing back. You will then have a great reward, and you will be sons of the Most High God. For he is good to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. I will be officiating at the funeral of an old friend tomorrow. I refer to her as an old friend because I've known her for 30 years, but also because she lived to be 102 years old. Thelma Krieger was a member of my congregation in Ashton when I was called to that church more than 30 years ago. And I don't think she ever missed a single Sunday during the 12 years that I was there. She was a dedicated, lifetime member of her church, but every now and then, when the new minister was away, she would show up here at Britannia for Sunday worship. And she was very clear for the past 18 years that I was still her minister. By the world standards, Thelma lived a simple life. Some might have even called her poor. During the ice storm of 98, when we were all concerned about being without running water or electricity, she just shrugged and said, "That's how we used to live." Indeed, that's not only how she was raised, but that's how she lived when she was first married and raised her own children in a little cabin in the woods. Later, she moved her family to a small log house that sits beside the bridge in the village of Ashton, where she lived until she was 100 years old. She grew her own food. She made her own quilts. She tended her flower garden, and she earned what little income she had cleaning other people's houses. She didn't have much of an education. She didn't travel until she was into her 80s. Her home was decorated simply with curtains that she made herself. But her door was always open, and there was always a cup of tea and some homemade cookies ready for whoever dropped by. Thelma sang in the church choir with her brother Wes. She was a member of the United Church Women's Group. She cleaned the church every week and helped out at all of the church fundraisers, not just for the United Church, but also for the Anglican Church down the road because her friends and some of her family went there. And I expect that when we gather to celebrate her life tomorrow, the church will be filled to overflowing with people who loved and respected this woman. By the world's standards, Thelma lived a simple life. Some might even have called her poor, but her life was rich in faith. She had a wealth of family and friends. She was surrounded by the abundance of nature's beauty, and her heart was filled with joy. Just last week, we studied the blessings that are outlined in Jesus' Sermon on the Plain, and we talked about the hope of resurrection, which can be experienced here and now. Indeed, we are called to live our resurrection faith now, and in our living, we will create God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. This week, as the season of Epiphany approaches its end, with Lent just around the corner, our readings point out once again to the resurrection, but not in some faraway place. To the resurrection as it is here and now. You may recall that Luke focused on a living faith that could be seen in action. And in our gospel reading for today, he outlines the kind of actions that are illustrations of the life of Christ. They may not seem wise by the world's standards. They may seem foolish to those who subscribe to society's model for success. And some of his teachings might even seem impossible to follow, but they do indeed point to the way of the good life in the way and example of Christ. The Gospel of Luke speaks about loving enemies, giving generously, lending without asking for repayment, and refusing to judge others. We so often think of resurrection as an event that happened a long time ago, or one that is going to happen at the end of time. But these teachings of Christ present an idea of resurrection that is here and now, because following his instructions are all ways of living that bring life to others and free us from ideas and standards that prevent us from living a deeper, more vibrant life. What Jesus teaches us is that we do not have to wait for some future judgment to experience resurrection. God offers us life, renewal, recreation, restoration, and liberation right here and now. Whenever we embrace the values and priorities of God's reign and seek to bring light to those around us, we are living the reality that we call resurrection. In chapter 37 of the book of Genesis, we are told the story of Joseph and his amazing coat of many colors. It's a story that Andrew Lloyd Webber made into one of his most popular musicals. A story of 11 brothers who were jealous of the attention and favor that their father gave to Joseph. By the world standards, the eldest son should gain all of the favor, not one of the younger ones. And so they became angry and bitter and jealous. At first they plotted to kill him, but at the very last minute they had a change of heart. They sold him into slavery instead, telling their father that he had been killed by an encounter with a wild goat. Well, in time, Joseph's ability to interpret dreams gained the attention of Pharaoh and saved the people of Egypt from a coming famine that would ravage the land. Joseph's family in Canaan were not so fortunate, and in time, they too came to Egypt begging for food. Little did they know that the man who was in charge of the Pharaoh's stores of grain was the very brother they had abused. But Joseph recognized them immediately. He could have sent them away empty-handed. He could have thrown them into the very same jail where he had been held as a prisoner. And who would have blamed him? But Joseph chose a different path. He chose forgiveness. And in doing so, he not only offered new life to his brothers, physical life to his brothers, but by letting go of vengeance and bitterness, he created a new life for himself. Joseph's transformed relationship with his brothers can be viewed as a resurrection here and now. By forgiving them, he saved them from certain death, and he discovered the life-giving power of forgiveness and love. In our gospel reading from chapter 6 of Luke, Jesus suggests that loving only those who can love us back and giving evil for evil is actually the way of death. And he invites us to a different kind of life, which can also be thought of as resurrection. It is a way of life in which we believe that love ultimately wins over hate, forgiveness over division, life over death, and in which we live the resurrection here and now, finding our ultimate joy in a life that is congruent with the teachings of Christ. John Vandalar is a Methodist minister who describes living the resurrection here and now in this way. He says, "If resurrection is to be revealed and experienced in our world globally, then it must be nurtured and made available to people locally. This is the task of the local church and of any community that seeks to oppose the forces of death and evil and nurture and share whatever brings life, beauty, truth, and goodness into the world. When we claim that certain people are evil and beyond God's love, and salvation is simply for those who are, in terms of their religion, fitting according to the guidelines that have been made. When we proclaim that there are those who are not acceptable in God's realm because of their religion, their race, their gender, their sexual orientation, or political views, then we are not the Church of the Resurrection. God calls us to die to this very human, mortal way of living. But when we proclaim that God's love is available to all, that God welcomes and accepts all for who they are, then we become a church of the resurrection. Jesus said, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. These are not easy things to do. And one of the questions I am asked most often is how we can possibly forgive people who have harmed us. Well, in the past few weeks, I've seen a whole series of stories on TV about people who have wrestled with the concept of forgiveness. Some were physically harmed themselves. Others had lost a loved one due to an act of violence. No one would blame them for harboring anger, hatred, or even thoughts of revenge. But with each of these stories, the people chose to forgive. One woman had been the victim of a brutal beating when she was only 17. It nearly killed her. Initially, she was angry. she lost her trust in humanity. And she pushed everyone away who tried to help her. But eventually, she realized that she was miserable and she was lonely and she really wanted people in her life. And so she made a decision. The decision to forgive the man who hurt her so that she could heal her spirit and move on. The significant thing is that he did not want her forgiveness. In fact, when she sat right in front of him and opened her heart to him and offered forgiveness, he refused to acknowledge his responsibility. He went as far as to say that it was her own fault that she got beaten because she was in the wrong place at the wrong time and she had no business being there at that hour of the night. But she forgave him anyway. And she continues to this day to pray for the man who abused her. Did it change him? No. But it changed her. The act of forgiveness gave her new life. It empowered her spirit. It opened her up to trusting people once again. Today, she's married. She has a young daughter. She has a job that fulfills her. And her life can only be described as joyful because she lives her resurrection faith. Jesus said, "Do unto others as you would have them do unto you." He said, "Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given unto you." This week, our call to resurrection can include such simple things as learning patience with ourselves and others and God as we wait for healing or restoration to happen. It can include forgiving others instead of allowing our hatred and pain to lead us into a dying of our souls. It can include releasing the values and material wealth of human society in order to share what we have and bring life to those who are in need. And it can include loving ourselves enough to do what feeds and nurtures our souls, what brings life to our bodies, and what deepens and strengthens our relationships. In these ways, can we experience our future hope of resurrection right here and now. One of my favorite sayings is, "What you put energy into, you get energy back from." This sentiment is echoed in the final verse of our gospel reading for today. It says, "The measure you give is the measure you receive." So, let us give our energy into the ways of Christ that lead to life. Not just in some future kingdom, but right here and now. So that we may experience the freedom and new life that is offered to us here and now, in Christ's name and example. Amen. Our prayer is entitled, "The Life That Is Truly Good." I'm going to read the prayer. I invite you just to listen. You can keep your eyes open, closed. Breathe deep. Let the words touch your spirit. You alone know, O God, the depth of the longing in our hearts, the intensity of the thirst in our souls. And in answer, you have come to us, lived among us, taught and healed us, demonstrated what the good life looks like. Then in dying, revealed the value of this life you offer. You alone, O God, know what we need to satisfy our need, to lead us to the life we instinctively seek. And in answer, you have opened the door to life for us, constantly whispered to us of your love and grace, gently nudged us in the direction of our best life. And so now, as you come to us again, as your life is proclaimed to us again, we praise you, risen and living one, for the truly good life we find in you. Amen. Our next song is a relatively new one. We've sung it before. It's from Voices United, and it's really a beautiful way of looking at how we become the resurrected Christ in the world. When I needed a neighbor, were you there? Were you there? When I needed a neighbor, were you there? And the creed and the color and the name, what matter, were you there? I was hungry and thirsty, were you there? Were you there? I was hungry and thirsty, were you there? And the creed and the color and the name, what matter, were you there? I was cold, I was naked, were you there? Were you there? I was cold, I was naked, were you there? And the creed and the color and the name, what matter, were you there? When I needed a healer, were you there? Were you there? When I needed a healer, were you there? And the creed and the color and the name, what matter, were you there? Wherever you travel, I'll be there, I'll be there. Wherever you travel, I'll be there. And the creed and the color and the name, what matter, I'll be there. I'd ask if there are joys or concerns that you'd like to share, and we'll include them in our pastoral prayers. Dory? Ah, okay. Yes, Rose. Okay. So, prayers for your brother, whose wife passed away on Family Day. And prayers for you too. Miss Barry? Yes, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Jennifer?
Prayer for this whole idea of forgiving your enemies and even after they die, it's hard to forgive. And it does hold on to us.
Right. It's really hard, and it's hard when the person doesn't want our forgiveness or maybe wasn't aware that they needed our forgiveness. But it's important to remember that when we offer forgiveness, what we're really doing is we're giving responsibility for their actions back to them, and we're releasing what we hold. Because if we don't do that, we become their voice, and we continue the abuse, or we continue the insults, we continue the hurt. And so we have to let it go in order for us to heal spiritually and move beyond. That doesn't mean that if a person is living and we forgive them, that we allow them to continue abusing us. Sometimes we have to step away, and that doesn't mean it's not a loving act to do, and we can continue to pray for them, but we have to let it go, because we hold on to it, and then we continue doing what they did. Just let it go. Yes, Kathy. Yes. Mm-hmm. All right, thank you. Any other joys or concerns? Ola? Awesome. Oh, that's great. Val? Yeah, just remembering Thelma Krigger's family. So Thelma's granddaughter, Nancy, works at Summerhays, and we often go there for lunch, and she has the same spirit of her grandmother, she's a hard worker, and she's, you know, always there to greet you and embraces everyone as though they were her own family. So, yes? Wow. Yeah, so prayers for her during this time of change, huge change. Yes, Dee? And I'd like to ask for prayers for Ashton and Munster United Churches. I left there 18 years ago, and in the first 8 years that I was here, they had 8 changes of minister. Because of people filling in, intentional interim ministry, they had a minister who ended up going off on disability, more people filling in. She came back, she left, more filling in. There's been a tremendous amount of turmoil in that charge for the past 18 years, and the reason why I'm able to go and do Thelma's funeral, which I'm really thankful and honored that I can do, is that they still don't have a regular minister. They got one about a year ago, and they were all excited, and then 6 months into the ministry, the minister got an offer of a full-time job and felt that she had to take it for the sake of her family. So just when they thought they were starting again, they're back at the beginning, and so every Sunday it's a different person, and that's really difficult for a church. It's hard for them to keep going. So prayers for them, prayers for them. Let us pray. God, as we pray, we offer up all of our joys and concerns, whether they are spoken out loud or held in the quietness of our hearts. We pray for those who are grieving, that they would be filled with a sense of resurrection hope. And we pray that they would begin to live that resurrection hope themselves, finding the joy that is eternal. We pray for those who are sick, be it a body, mind, or spirit, and we pray that they would receive the healing that they need. We pray for those who feel lonely or abandoned. We pray for those who are searching. We pray for those who are facing changes to their lives or their living situation. And we pray, O God, that your love and your grace and your healing power would be seen in all of these things. God, as we pray for churches, not just throughout our city and our country, but places of worship of all different kinds around the world who are doing their best to proclaim your word in a way that is life-giving. And we pray, O God, in this time of change, that we would find ways to speak your word of truth in ways that are loving and upbuilding and meaningful. God, as we pray, we offer all of our concerns to you, but we also come to you with our prayers of joy and thanksgiving. We give you thanks for today. We give you thanks for our lives. We give you thanks for this opportunity to gather together as a church family, as friends, long time and new. We give you thanks for our Sunday school and for the leaders who bring joy and enthusiasm to match that of the children. We give you thanks for hope and peace that comes to us through your word and your grace. And we give you thanks for your Son, who taught us when we pray to say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And we'll continue in our worship with this morning's offering.
There is room for all in the shadow of God's wings. There is room for all sheltered in God's love. And I rejoice and sing, my refuge and my rock in whom I trust. There is room. Chacun a sa place à l'appui sous l'aile de Dieu. Chacun a sa place à l'amour de Dieu. De joie je chanterai mon refuge en lequel je me confie. Chacun a sa place.
Many hands to help you everywhere, and some there are who cannot serve unless our gifts we share. Because we love you and your work, our offering now we make. Be pleased to use it as your own. We ask for Jesus' sake.
Source of every blessing, as you sent Joseph into Egypt to save the world from famine, you sent Jesus into our lives to save us from selfishness and greed. For teaching us to treat others as we would have them treat us, we give you our thanks and praise. Bless these gifts that we have received, and send them forth to those in need, whether they be friend or foe. For all are your beloved children and our sisters and brothers. Amen. Let's sing the lovely old hymn, Blessed Be the Tie That Binds.
Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love, the unity of heart and mind is like to that above. Sympathizing tears. this glorious hope revives. Our perish on the way, that we shall live in perfect love in God's eternal day.
And now we'll say together our benediction. Bless us now, O God, as we go forth to live the good life by doing good unto others, in Christ's name and example. Amen. Now we're going to sing Go Now in Peace, and we had all kinds, you stay there, Barry, for a moment. We had all kinds of great ideas about how we were going to do this on Thursday, but I'm kind of looking at the crowd that we have today, and I do say crowd, and think maybe we need to just adapt a little bit. So Lauren is leading a section, Kathy is, Barry is, and, pardon? Allison, yes. Allison is too. So what I'm going to suggest is that we have, I think we're going to have Lauren start with this section, right to Wendy, okay? And then we'll have Kathy come in with part number two, okay? Come right up to Nancy. So you follow Kathy. And then we've got Barry. Barry, you can just lead that section. And Allison, do you want to come around? And you can lead the section from Diane back. Danielle. It's all right. After today's service, she has to forgive you. So we're going to sing the whole thing together. Go now in peace. So we're going to sing the whole thing together once. And then I'll point to each part as you start. And you're going to do it twice. And when you get to the end, just keep doing the everywhere, everywhere you may go. Got that? All right, let's go. And you have to sing out really, really loud to make up for the fact that we don't have all of the seats filled.
Go now in peace, go now in peace. May the love of God surround you everywhere. Around you everywhere, everywhere you may go. Go now in peace, go now in peace. May the love of God surround you everywhere, everywhere.
That sounded awesome. Remember, there's coffee served. There are treats at the back. We hope that you can join us. Sign your guest book if you're visiting. And say hello to your neighbor. Oh, watch it.